By the time I was 4 years of age, I was already turned on. So my sexual energy came online at 4 years of age.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. I am a womb shaman, and I am an activator of Kundalini Shakti, as well as the Ecstatic Life Mentor. And today I want to talk to you about, you know, maybe what is really obvious, and maybe what's not so obvious. And today is a solo episode, so this is where I get to dive in deeply on a topic with you, the audience. Get to hold this intimate space with you and just get to enjoy it together. So I like to teach and give a lot of broad ideas and expand your mind, as well as potentially have you breathe into your body throughout the recording, throughout the audio, whatever you want to call this episode. There we go. Because it's important to breathe into our bodies, particularly with conversations that honestly are triggering. And, you know, I'm all about triggering conversations because it's where we meet our discomfort. It's where we meet our triggers, our wounding, that we really allow ourselves to reclaim the truth of who we are, our authenticity, and ultimately our divinity. And when we are triggered, we tend to come up out of the body. This doesn't allow us to process the information fully, and it really doesn't allow us to hear. It's quite interesting. I see this a lot with people who are arguing or engaged in a conversation that is triggering and heated. The parties are out of their bodies, and they're not really listening to each other. So I invite you right now just to take some nice deep breaths down into your belly. And remember, when you breathe in, you want your belly to go out ever so slightly. And as you breathe out, the belly drops back down. Belly breathing, ultimately a complete breath. And just kind of preparing your body for this conversation, giving yourself permission to be fully present and available to this information. Remembering that if you're triggered, if you're uncomfortable, it's beautiful because it's offering you awareness of where you have potential to expand, potential to grow, to heal, to up-level. So today I want to talk about the innocence of our sexual energy. And I'm going to bring in a couple of stories for you of my own personal experience. And again, I just really invite you to hear me, not just listen, but hear me. For me, it has become apparent ever since I had my Kundalini awakening back in 2014-ish of my own rejection, my own suppression, oppression of my sexual energy, and ultimately, really how the majority of humans are, and it's a rampant wound in our society. For good reason. Our sexual energy is very, very powerful. It holds Shakti. It is Shakti, right? So remember that your Kundalini Shakti is your creative life force energy, the energy of creation itself. And all of your sexual energy is Kundalini Shakti, but not all Shakti is sexual energy. But our sexual energy is also very powerful because it offers us communion with our bodies, communion with the eight gates of sexual magic, which are deeply esoteric and magical. Communion with each other when we do act in the intimacy, in the act of sex. Because it's important to understand that when we speak of sexual energy, it doesn't mean we're speaking of sex. We can have highly engaged sexual energy, highly activated sexual energy every day. And it's very, very powerful to do that. Because ultimately, you can use your sexual energy to create, to align with your heart's desires, to align with your intentions and create them. The ancient Egyptians were very aware of the power of sexual energy, and they used it accordingly. And Thoth, which is a well-known Egyptian, him and his wife actually used it to become immortal. If you think about it, it makes sense, right? Because sexual energy creates life, literally. So it would make sense that it is possible, there is a potential there to use sexual life to reach immortality. Now, it's not really what I'm going for. My point to that was the power of it. And women in particular, we hold a vastness. We hold an infiniteness, if that's even a word. We are deeply connected to the void. And when we are honored in the act of sex, we open great depths. We open dimensions. We open time, space. And when that honor is there, when the communion is there, when a woman feels safe and loved, honored, she can open up and draw in so much creative life force energy directly from the void, directly from the cosmic womb, directly from the mother, and gift that to her partner and herself and, honestly, the neighborhood. And so in order to control a big population, in order to control humans, you know, we have experienced radical suppression of our sexual energy. And particularly for women, but I would say both men and women have experienced this. It's not something in our society that is talked about in any healthy manner. Where it is spoken about, it is often highly distorted and orgasm-centered. But the act of sex is far from just the orgasmic experience. It ultimately can lead us to divine union. The divine union that we can experience through ourselves. The divine union that we can experience in communion with another. And the divine union that we can experience as our Kundalini Shakti reaches our crown. And none of those are separate or different. And they can all happen simultaneously or separately, so to speak. And one of the core desires of humans is to experience divine union, to remember that we were never separate. We were just pretending to be. If you have been listening to me, I have an episode called the primary, I don't remember what the name of it is, but it's something about, you know, the root of suffering is separation, or the primary suffering of humanity is the belief of separation. That is the core of all of our pain, all of it. The belief that we are separate from divinity, that we are separate from God. And the act of sex, as well as just simply our sexual energy, offers us the opportunity to remember that, to realize that, to actualize, bring that concept into experiential understanding and experience. That's powerful. So if you're wanting to control people and you're wanting to create an intermedium, a person that they have to go through, or a philosophy or a religion that they have to utilize to connect to divinity, then suppressing sex, suppressing sexual energy, and shaming people for their sexual desires and energy and expression is a very straightforward and extremely potent way to do it. I remember many years ago, this was right around my Kundalini awakening, that I heard this tantric teacher say that she believed that all war, all fighting, was rooted in sexual frustration. Which, again, going off of the last episode I made about sex, power, and money, you can understand what she was referring to. Again, these aren't really separate. We can see them separately. We can see how they are experienced separately, but they're fundamentally in the same energy. They're fundamentally in our creative life force energy. Because when a human has their sacral, their heart, and their pineal gland fully activated, we have the ability, the capacity to create universes. That is how powerful we are. And that takes a full realization, communion, union with one's creative life force energy, and unification of self, which is really what I teach and help people with. So that was all just preliminary. We're not even into the conversation yet. Go ahead and take another nice deep breath into your body. Just noticing if you feel any triggers, if you feel any discomfort, right? Or if you're hearing any thoughts, any belief structures, right? Just acknowledging and holding awareness for them. Now, this came into my space a couple of years back, where I have been, you know, really on this journey of reclaiming my Shakti and my sexual energy since I awoke in 2013, 2014. And it hasn't been easy for me. It's, you know, actually been a very challenging path. And I love challenge. So I am not a victim of this in any way, shape, or form. And it was really due to my resistance. You know, my own personal resistance made it challenging, but that resistance was there because of my trauma. So even seeing the resistance as part of the perfection. And through this process, you know, I've resisted for a long time talking about sex and really wanting to have anything to do with it with regards to spirituality. In fact, it was only in 2020 that I truly thought I was just going to be celibate. And I was with a partner at the time. And right around that time, I had my communion with God. And then after that, really opened up my sexual energy. But I, there for a while, I believed that you didn't need sex to, you know, go on the spiritual journey, which I don't believe you do. And I don't mean sex, sexual energy. Let me reframe that, right? Because again, you can experience and engage with your sexual energy, not even in the act of sex, okay? The act of sex is a cherry on the top. you think of just the sexual energy as the cake, it really starts to transform our perspective, doesn't it? Whereas we've generally thought of the act of sex being the cake and whatever orgasm or maybe sexual energy being the cherry on top. But actually the core of it is the sexual energy. And the more you come in communion with that outside of the act of sex, the more that the act of sex truly does become the cherry on the cake. And cherry, with pun intended, of course. So it wasn't always easy for me to talk about this. I had a lot of shame. A lot of shame. And I was unaware of it. And if you've listened to me for a while, you've heard me say we don't know what we don't know. And that denial is very powerful. Denial literally stops us from seeing something. So what we deny, we literally cannot see, which of course validates our denial. And so I couldn't see my shame. I couldn't feel it. I didn't know it was there. And I wanted to push away sexual energy. I wanted to push it all away because, well, in all honesty, it made me uncomfortable, but I wasn't even fully connected to that. You know, it was more, I was convincing myself that it wasn't necessary. And it's not necessary. You don't have to do any of this to go on a spiritual journey. And it's very powerful to do it this way. There's many roads that lead to Rome. Nobody can tell you how to get to Rome. That is always for you to find out for yourself. And you can listen to all the different people show you and tell you what different roads there are. And you choose which one you walk down. So this is not the only one, but it is something that is coming online on our planet. It is something that is being deeply healed, and it is one of the very core foundational energies that are transforming here on the planet. So to ride that wave is always going to produce the greatest results. And so it hasn't been easy for me, and I've still done it. And I've still listened to my higher self, and I've still taken action where I was asked to take action. And through this process, I was shown how, when I was a very little girl, I was highly erotic. Now, erotic is not a word I would have used to describe myself before I connected back to the story that I'm about to tell you. I never thought of myself as erotic. I have become aware of how highly sexual I have been, how high of sexual energy I truly hold. But I still never saw myself as erotic. Ecstatic? Absolutely. I've known that I am ecstatic, that I am an ecstatic being, and that I am here to teach the ecstatic self. Since 2017. But erotic, no. Interesting, isn't it? I just tell that to you because it's interesting. And it's always curious to me which words we resonate with and which words we don't. And sometimes it's the words that we don't resonate with that actually hold more truth. And sometimes not. Okay, so erotic. I was shown one day in meditation, my four-year-old self, and we lived in Southern Oregon. I was born and raised until the age of 19 when I left the country. I spent my whole time in one house in Grants Pass, Oregon, which is in the southern western corner there of Oregon. And we had 18 acres of land between our property and my grandparents' property, which was right next to ours. And then we were up against BLM land. So we had a lot of forest that I got to play in and be in. Mother Gaia raised me. And I spent a lot of time in her. And so by the time I was 4 years of age, I was already turned on. So my sexual energy came online at 4 years of age. Now, it's important to differentiate again here the understanding of sexual energy and sex. Because nowhere, shape, or form at 4 years of age was I aware of sex, right? I was not yearning for sex. I didn't want sex. None of that is true. However, and simultaneously in the same breath, I was highly turned on. So just pause here and breathe all the way down into your yoni. Breathe again all the way down. Into your yoni, into your pussy, into your sexual organs. Because it's very, very, very likely that if you have been listening to me or are drawn to this episode for some reason, that you were too. And when I talk to my clients about this, they experienced this as well. But where do you see it spoken of in our society? So I was erotic. I was turned on by the feelings of Mother Gaia. I would go out into the forest. Oh, I would just be so turned on by her energy and by the trees and the water and the sun. And I get all these images of my hands touching plants and just feeling so lit up, so alive in my sexual energy and in my sexual organs as well, and in my entire body, because that is what the ecstatic self is. When you are in your ecstatic energy, you are lit. And as I say this right now, I am lit. My body is vibrating right now because I am me as that little girl in the forest. And as I experience her again, my body lights up with sexual energy. Now, if I had experienced this many years ago, I probably would have felt a lot of shame around it because it was like, wait, what? Erotic, like erotic in nature at 4 years old, like what's wrong with you? But when I connected to this version of me, that's not what I felt. That's not what I feel now. I feel aliveness. I feel the sensuality of life. I feel deeply connected and in communion with Mother Gaia. Oh my God, and she's so beautiful. And I have tears coming to my eyes right now, and my heart is just swollen with love. That's erotic. That's turned on. That's ecstatic. That's alive with life. And I have like bliss hits running through my body right now. Just, oh, these beautiful energy waves coursing through me right now. And as I've connected to this more and more, I just get lit more and more. And it's really beautiful because I've been bringing it lately into sessions. I have the Unity Academy and we do live sessions, and I've been bringing this aliveness into the session, and it's extraordinary how it helps people. There have been two women in particular on two separate occasions who after the session went and did engage sexually with their partner, and both women on two different occasions had sexual experiences that they had never experienced before with their partner, and their partner agreed that they went next level. And the reason I believe that that is because through this journey back to that 4-year-old version of me, I've connected back into the innocence. At 4 years of age, you don't know anything about sexual shame, manipulation, prostitution, sex slavery, whores, like whatever word you want to bring in that wants to express sexual distortion, right? You don't know anything about the act of sex. You don't know anything about any of that. You are simply this innocent, present child. And connecting back to that innocence has been one of the most healing experiences of my entire life, because I carried so much shame there. What happened was, well, for one, I was sexually abused very young. So that started to immediately bring in the energy of shame. And then the adults around me started to feel me. Whether they were conscious about it or not, they started to notice that my sexual energy was high. And they didn't feel safe, which I don't blame them for in any way, shape, or form. Absolutely not. Our society has not felt safe, even in these conversations, let alone in the experience of it. Your 4-year-old daughter, your 5, 6, 7-year-old daughter is just lit. What do you do? Will you stop it? You got to stop that, because that's going to get her into trouble. And I won't deny that my sexual energy got me into a lot of trouble, but it was already distorted by the time it got me into trouble. I had already been abused. I had already been suppressed. So who knows? I had already carried shame by the time my sexual energy really got me into trouble. But it got me into a lot of trouble, to the point that I just started shutting it down really hard. Really, really hard, because I was so confused in it. It was far from innocent. It was shameful. And, you know, all of these underlying traumas that we have, what's important to understand is we're literally vibrating at them, in them, as them. So if you hold shame around sexual energy, whenever your sexual energy is lit, so is that shame. And that's what brings confusion, distortion, all kinds of things into the space between you and other people. And so back to this story about bringing this energy into my sessions and watching the beauty of it, it's because it's reconnected to the remembrance of its innocence. I have released the shame, and now it's simply innocent and beautiful, sensational. And I can trust it again, just like I did when I was 4. I can trust it again. I can trust the pleasure it brings me. I can trust the way that it shows up. I can trust how it moves through my body. And that is what is deeply transformative and healing. Not the sexual energy per se, but the clear, innocent, aligned, pure sexual energy is healing. So this has been in my space for a couple of years now. I had a program called the 8 Gates of Sexual Magic come from my higher self last year in around February. And I had already been taken through the program unbeknownst to myself, besides just knowing, you know, like my higher self was taking me deep into myself the year and a half before that. And so I'd had a couple of years of really deep, deep healing around money, sex, and power. And then this program came into my lap, and I've been unraveling these deeper layers of just the absolute beauty of this. So just go ahead and let's pause here and let's just breathe into the body, because whatever you're feeling is perfect. Breathe all the way down again to your yoni. Breathe deep into your belly. Breathe deep into your body. And just acknowledge that whatever you're feeling is perfect. If you feel lit and turned on, perfect. If you feel triggered and contracted, perfect. Okay, it's all just information. Doesn't make you good, bad, right, wrong. It just is. And if you're triggered, then it's already pointing to the shame that you hold. And if you're not triggered, it doesn't mean you don't have shame. Because I didn't get triggered by it for a very long time. I was so shut down that I wasn't even triggered anymore before I had my Kundalini Shakti awakening. And then after that, in 2014, I started to become aware of the triggers that I held in my sexual energy. But we can be so numb that we can't. I mean, numbness is the lack of pain, right? If you numb an area of your body, you couldn't feel if a knife cuts you. And denial will numb us. And we do that for protection. We do that to protect ourselves. And it's all beautiful. It's all perfect. It's all part of the process. Just always be curious. Always, always, always be curious, because curiosity opens the mind and allows you to see what you are in denial of. And as I've unraveled this over these last couple of years, just in these last several months, I have been guided to be helping women to conceive. And it's, you know, it's a beautiful honor. I am so honored. It wasn't my idea per se. It was from my higher self. And at first my ego poo-pooed it, which the ego loves to do. But I listened to my higher self and I started taking action in it. And it's been just incredible. So in the process of connecting to these women and assisting them, and honestly connecting to a life where I had 3 miscarriages, which allowed me to connect to the pain of that kind of experience, both miscarriage and a lack of conception. I had this beautiful epiphany the other day about sexual energy, and I was talking to a potential client, and the soul of her baby, the soul that wants to be her baby, right? Because it's not the soul of her baby. It's the soul that desires to incarnate as her baby, came in and was just telling me that it needs another level of sexual energy to incarnate into. And I was totally blown away. And simultaneously, yes, of course you do. These are high vibrational beings that are insisting that they are, it's not even like they don't have egos, right? So it's not their ego insisting, it's a vibrational resonance. So they cannot be conceived in sexual energy that holds shame or distortion. That's profound. And so I was contemplating this for a couple of days, just blown away in the of course and oh my gosh and wow, that's so beautiful. And of course that's what they need. And wow, imagine our world when all of the new beings that come in are conceived in healed sexual energy. That in and of itself is so powerfully transformative. Because remember, It's all the same. The wound of power, the wound of money, the wound of sex, it's all the same. So what happens when these babies are conceived in healed sexual energy? Those stop being wounds. Whew. Huge. And so I was in the bathtub the other day, and I oftentimes just, I just sink into the water and I feel, remind myself of the womb and feeling the womb and the water around me. And I use the sensations of my body to connect to the Great Mother and the cosmic womb. And I was just in there with her, enjoying all of it, when I had the urge to start toning, which just happens. So I started toning, and then pretty soon I said a prayer in tongue, in another language. And I never know what they're going to be saying, what the prayers or the incantations are going to say, until I'm hearing them come out my mouth, and then I understand them. And this one was a prayer, and it was calling in all of these souls that are attempting to be conceived right now. And it was coming out of my mouth, and all of a sudden I was surrounded by these beings, and they were so beautiful. They were so giddy. They were like giggling and laughing. And if you've ever spent time with the energy of soul, it is just pure joy. I spent a lot of time with it in animal communication when I used to be an animal communicator. And of course, I spend a lot of time with it with humans as well. It's just delicious. It's pure joy, literally. And they were giggling, and they were just pure light. And I was just, after the prayer, I just sat with them a little bit. You know, I was smiling, and I started to cry because it was just so beautiful. And they were telling me, they were like confirming what I had felt earlier. It was only a couple of days before that I had had the epiphany. So they were confirming what I had felt and heard. And then they were asking me for help. I mean, talk about honor. You know, it's very easy when you experience things like that to be like, well, I can't help you. Who am I? And trust me, I feel that a lot. And whenever I feel that inadequacy, which is one of my gene keys, I just breathe into my body and I just remind myself, they're asking you. So do it. Stop questioning yourself, second guessing yourself. Just show up as they are asking you clearly to do, from a place of love. You know, we can get so lost in our heads, right? When something so profound comes through, it can make us think that we have to do something specific. I do this all the time. Oh, okay, I'm going to help these beings. Well, what am I going to do? And what's it going to look like? And the mind just starts analyzing. And the heart and the womb know exactly what to do. And we just have to listen. And to my surprise, it's actually been a lot less than I think needs to happen. I'll leave you with that. So I was just listening to them and crying and receiving this honor into my heart. Breathing it in my heart and just saying, yes, yes, I will help you. I will help you. And I am humbled by the request, and I don't need to understand how it's going to happen. And I trust that it will happen and it will serve all of you, because that is my desire from my heart. That is my desire, is to serve them. And that is enough. That desire, that true, just, wow, I feel it so strongly in my heart. That is enough. It's almost like I'm getting the reminder right now as I'm telling myself this. So these new souls want this higher vibrational sexual energy. They want to be conceived in the innocence, because that hasn't been our story. It hasn't been the story of humanity. We've been conceiving in shame, conceiving in oppression. And I bring this to you today. Well, if you're trying to conceive, then, you know, it is about your sexual energy, particularly if you're having issues conceiving. And if you're not trying to conceive, then this is still about your sexual energy, if you didn't get that already. And regardless, this is about all of us remembering that the innate energy that is our sexual energy is innocent. We're the ones that have demonized it and distorted it and really just made it into things that it's not in its true essence. Shame being expressed through sexual energy is not sexual energy. That's shame being expressed sexually. And so I hope this gives you permission. I hope it gives you permission to own it and to forgive yourself if you ever questioned it and if you ever shamed yourself or took on shame that another person was casting upon you. And just forgive yourself and allow my love, that aliveness once again to ignite, or if it's already ignited, allow it to purify through its very own flame. And of course, I can help you. And I am most honored to help you if you seek assistance, if you seek guidance in this. Because again, this is the energy we create our reality with. So it's not just about sex. But it is about money. It is about sex. It is about power. And it is about creating your reality truly in your heart's desires, not just in what you think you want or what you think you should want, but truly aligned to desires you may not even be aware that you have, but they are pure and they are rooted, created of love, and they are of service to the all, and they are profound, and they are your genius. And with this innocence of your sexual energy, you can create and experience your unique genius. I love you all so very much. Please reach out to me if you feel like you could use some guidance in this. I have many different containers and ways to work with me, and I would love to hear from you. And as always, every Tuesdays are the solo episodes. It's intimate corners, intimate moments between you and me. And then every Thursdays are the guest episodes, which are always so delightful. I love you all so, so very much, and I will see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.